Hey, Murderheads.
Hi, Murderheads.
We just wanted to release a little mini episode to give you guys a little bit more taste of who we are and what we're all about, and dive a little bit more personally into Nikki and myself, because I think it's important that when you listen to us talk, you understand why we are the way we are and what our purpose of having a podcast is. So, yeah, bear with us here, and we're about to dive into two mini interviews with the writers of Murder, She Taped, with commentary by the ever-loving pup, Milo. So, how old are you?
I am 26.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
I think I've talked about it before. I don't know. I don't think that I thought I would be here at 26, but that's all right. That's my age.
Don't wear it out.
I'm sticking to it.
It's like on RuPaul's Drag Race where they're like, I'm 22. And then the thing comes up and it's like 43.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. What do you do for work?
I work for a financial institution.
Okay.
I work from home full time, so that's what pays the bills and stuff. I used to be a hairdresser. That was pretty cool.
Why'd you stop?
Money wasn't there. Yeah, it sucked. But that's why I stopped. I loved it because I love talking to people and like getting to know them. And like when you're a hairdresser, people tell you the weirdest shit.
Because you're getting so personal with those scalp massages.
Well, because you're like, yeah, like you're in their personal space, like your boobs are hitting their shoulders sometimes, and like you're just having like that really personal connection. So there was like one lady, I remember in Fort Mac, she came in, she was like having a stressful day, she's one of my clients, and I was like, what's going on? Like, what's up? And she was like, I just found out I have, like, I don't even remember, it was an STD. And I was like, in that moment, I was just like, wow, I'm not sure that I would tell a stranger that. But to her, I wasn't a stranger. I was a hairdresser. And me and other hairdressers used to talk all the time. Like, yeah, they will tell you the weirdest shit. And people will think you're, like, literally, like, a psychologist. And they're going to sit in your chair. And they're just going to tell you all their problems and you're going to fix them.
That is so crazy.
Because if you think about it, like, when you get upset or something, you're like, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to change your hair.
Yes.
As a female?
Yeah.
So you're going through a tough time. You just colored your hair.
I did.
So like you're going through a tough time, the first thing you're thinking of, I'm going to go get my hair done.
Yeah.
So you sit in that chair and you might as well just let them know what's going on.
It's so true.
So I miss that.
I talked to Leanne about all of my problems and all of my friends' problems.
And all of my problems? You told her my problems.
I sure have. You're like the favorite one she checks on. Oh, so how's that one friend that went through that thing last year? I'm like, oh, she's great.
She's fine.
A lot better now. It's one of therapy. That's awesome. Okay, so we do talk a lot about your pets.
Yeah.
Tell us about your pets.
So I have Rosie, my Basset Hound. She is the light of my life. She is the most beautiful creature you've ever seen. She loves to cry. She loves to talk. We did like an animal communication. She told me off. She said I was an overprotective mother, which it's true. So I try to give her a lot more space now.
Rosie jumped off the deck, and I will never forget Nikki. You can't jump off the deck. You're going inside. You get a timeout.
Well, she had knee surgery like a couple years ago, and it stresses me out. And I'm very protective over here. She's also very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like she came from a really tough up. Like her first year of her life, she was abused. Like she just didn't come from the best home, and like they didn't care whether she was there or not. She was in a kennel 23 hours of the day. So she just came from like a really tough start. And I mean, she's just starting now to like get better. Like she doesn't cry as much. Like, you know that.
Mm-hmm. And she's a lot better.
I have Dolly.
And I think that's why, is because you brought Dolly in.
Because I have Dolly. Yeah. So Dolly was just supposed to be a foster. She's my one-eyed chihuahua. She's 12. She came in from a not so good situation. She was attacked. She lost her eye. And we just found out she was in great health. Mm-hmm. So how do you adopt a 12-year-old dog that's not in great health? So she'll just hang out with me until her final days. And Rosie loves her and she fits in really well. Mm-hmm. Then I also have my cat Clementine. She's also a rescue from Saving Grace. She's a really good cat.
I love Clem.
She's not very lovable. She just kind of like does her own thing. But she loves Rosie. Mm-hmm. And that's important, is they really get along. So she's not really my cat. She's like Rosie's cat. So those are my pets.
I love Clem. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? As we just talked about this age thing.
I want to see myself in the mountains.
Yeah.
Or somewhere where, like, I'm just going to be happy every day to wake up and, like, look out my window. I always thought that I would live around here just because my family's around here. But I've came to realize, like I said on one of my first dates, families die.
I tell everyone that comment and everyone's like, what the fuck?
So I went on a first date and we sat down and we were talking about, like, whatever. Just, like, he doesn't like it here, blah, blah, blah. And I said something and he's like, well, my family's here. And I just straight face looked him across the table 5 minutes into the date and I said, families die. And he was like, what the fuck did I just get myself into?
Do you still talk to him?
We're friends here and there, but yeah. Not as much. Pretty sure that ship has sailed. But yeah, I think probably like around the mountains or like the ocean or something. Like I even just to move to BC if I still want to stay in Canada. Like something like that would be nice.
And so that's living. Where do you see yourself career-wise?
I don't know. I don't know if I'll stay in banking. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like wherever the wind takes me.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's awesome. What do you love doing?
I love cooking. Mm-hmm. Spending time with Rosie. Reading. I enjoy like a good like thriller novel.
What's your favorite one?
I just read one the other day. I don't remember what it's called, but it was so good. It's about this girl that meets, so she's like married and they like move to the UK, and then she meets this girl on like just a walking trip thing, and then it was like plot twist. They get to know each other, both pregnant, those so they say she's pregnant, and then she has her baby and they're gonna go back to the States just to visit her and her friend. Mm-hmm. And the baby, she takes the baby and just leaves when the girl's in the bathroom, and then they find out that it's actually her husband's ex-wife that really wanted a baby and he left her. Oh my god, it's a thriller.
What the fuck?
It was really good. So yeah, I enjoy that stuff.
Okay. What is something you're passionate in?
Rescue.
For sure. Do you want to expand on that?
Sure. So I've been with Hope Lives Here Animal Rescue Society for 5 years now. I got involved because I adopted a dog from them and it didn't quite work out. He was aggressive and stuff. However, like, just Dwight. Everything. Yeah, Dwight. And, but I had, like, a lot of the support from the girls there, and they supported me through everything. So I just became really good friends with a lot of the girls on the rescue, and they started taking me out to the reserve to feed some of the dogs, get to know people, educate, and then I started fostering, and I've fostered ever since. And then, one of my best friends, Alina, she took over the rescue in Edmonton, because we used to be based out of Calgary, well, Red Deer, I guess, Red Deer area. So more down south, and she took over, and then she's like, do you want to be a team lead? So I've played a part in almost all of what I could. I was the adoption, I did fundraising for a little bit, I do social media now, I've done a lot of it, and I still foster time to time senior dogs in medical cases. So yeah,
it's awesome. So since we are a murder podcast, we do reference a lot of like spiritual or like religious things. Mm-hmm. So where would you say you are on the spirituality religious aspect?
I'm not religious. I didn't grow up religious either. My family's not religious, didn't go to church. We go to church once a year for Provida, to like bless graves and stuff, but I never go in the church. It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I'm very spiritual. Like, I mean, we've had this conversation many times. I feel like I know what happens when you die. Like, I feel very confident in knowing where I'm going and what happens, so it doesn't really scare me. I mean, I smudge my house. I believe in afterlife. Like, I believe in all of that, so I say like I'm really spiritual.
Awesome. What do you think makes you unique?
What do you think makes me unique?
I'm asking the questions. Yeah,
what do you think about me? Aww. Nothing.
You're batshit crazy, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I think something that makes you unique is your ability to I think you are so compassionate and caring, but paired with that, you're very blunt and you're very honest. And so I know that I can always come to you with something that I maybe couldn't go to other people. And even though you're probably sitting there internally being like, you're a piece of shit right now, you're not openly, you're gonna openly say, okay, you're kind of being dumb, but you're my best friend, so I'm going to just listen and tell you you're dumb later, or tell you I told you so later.
Yeah. I think we had that conversation today too, like just some stuff that's going on in your life, and we just talked about it, and I was like, I'm not gonna tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to tell you my opinion, but I'm not going to tell you what, like, it's your life. You're going to have to make your own mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I knew back, like, when I was, like, early 20s, I did a lot of dumb things and I hung out with a lot of dumb people. And I think, like, that's what made me so, like, a little bit more hard. It's like, I've always been compassionate, but it's just hardened me up, like, a little bit.
Well, also in reference to, like, even growing up.
Yeah.
You went through a lot of hard things that made you have to evaluate before you let people in.
That is true.
Because people who are in your circle did hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. Yeah, I would say one thing that makes me unique is like, yeah, just my compassion. And I love that, like, even like this podcast is a great example, is like something that scares the fuck out of me, which is true. Like, I'm so scared of violence. Like, I'm so scared to get hurt. I'm so scared to get murdered. But it's like we twist it and we can like laugh about it and we can make it like humorous and to a certain extent. And like, I think that is something that's really unique. And I think it's unique about both of us is that we can turn like something that may be like a bad situation into something a little bit brighter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. How different was your life 5 years ago?
Oh, fuck. 5 years ago.
You were 21.
Yes. 5 years ago, I had just gotten out of a really bad relationship. To my dog attacking the person, and that's like where I wasn't in rescue. Like, I had just fallen in love with rescue. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I had moved back in with my parents. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing 5 years ago at this moment. And I would say like next month, because in May was when I started looking at houses. So yeah, like at this moment, probably in time, this weekend is the weekend that I would have broken up with my boyfriend. It's Easter weekend because my dog attacked him on Easter.
Dwight?
Yeah. So yeah, like, oh my god, 5 years ago I was a mess. Moving back in with Mike and Debbie, doing hair part-time, not even clearing $800 a month.
Trying to figure your life out?
Yeah.
Would you go back into hair?
I would love to. If I made the money that I could support myself. But I refuse to go back because I did hair for so long. I mean, I started doing hair when I was 16. I started working for a place. And I did all the way until 21 and I loved it. But in that, I had to depend on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to depend on someone else to go back into doing hair. I wouldn't do that ever again.
No, you would own your own business.
I would want to, like, even just being with my ex, like, he paid the bills and I got to do what I love doing for a career. But I always depended on him and he always brought that up and like threw it in my face. I refuse to do that again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would ever go back into hair because I couldn't make the money to be by myself and like live my own life without having to depend on someone.
The hair industry has changed so much though now that like I feel like I have a lot of friends who are really independent being a stylist.
It's tough though because just simply because of you, when you're working for a salon, you usually make 50% of what. So if someone charges you $100, you're only making $50 for those 2 hours. So that's why people double book themselves. You keep your tips and stuff, or you're paying rent on a chair, so you have to be fucking busy to pay rent on a chair, or you get paid per hour. Which is even worse.
Yeah.
So it is tough. I mean, if you have the clientele, you can do it, but it's starting from scratch and getting the clientele, that's really tough.
Yeah.
And I moved around a lot, so I never had that.
Okay, that's a good point. What made you want to do this podcast?
Like I said before, I love true crime. I've always loved true crime. I mean, that's something me and my mom bonded over growing up. And I think for me, it's just like, I know that other people probably have the same fears as I do with true crime of like, so like the fear of violence and stuff. But I think if I can tell you a story and tell you something, and just make you like aware of what's out in this world, but I can also make you laugh at the same time. That's why I did this podcast, because I find a lot of the true crime podcasts, there's no sense of like funny in them. It's very like dead serious. They're telling you a story and it fucking scares you. And I mean, like, I told you the other day, I was listening to a couple podcasts and like I got to the point where I started crying and I couldn't, like, I couldn't listen to it anymore. Yeah. And like, I don't want to be that podcast that makes someone cry. I want to tell you like life lessons and stories, but I also want to make you like somewhat laugh.
Yeah.
Doing it.
So what's the end goal then for Murder, She Taped, in your opinion?
I'm hoping we just like keep doing stories, keep making people laugh, and like hopefully we'll get like a larger following, and then we'll see what happens. Like, it would be cool if we could like take this somewhere and like even just do like meet and greets and like get to know other murder heads and like that kind of stuff. That would be so sick.
Yeah, that would be so much fun.
So that's kind of like my hope for it, is like we grow like Murder, She Taped, and we have murder heads that like want to listen and get to know us, and mm-hmm. we want to get to know them as well.
What's one thing that you want the viewers to know about you?
Oh my god, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know if there's anything I want them to know about me. I think those questions are like pretty detailed, but what I want to tell them to do is, if you have any spare change, any spare time, if you own your house and like you can't have a dog, please donate to a local rescue or foster or do something along those lines, because it makes a huge difference. Like, I mean, it's only like a small part of your life, but it changes an animal's life forever.